It is time for Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Cargill, providing food, agriculture, financial, and industrial products and services to the world. Cargill, helping the world thrive.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet with Air Force Brigadier General Sandy Best and find out what the Minnesota Sports and Entertainment and the Minnesota Wild are doing for our veterans and our service members. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
March is Women's History Month. This month, the Library of Congress is doing an impressive job of telling a cross-section of women's stories, of which include military women. During Korea and Vietnam, women saw few advances in their roles in military service. Then, in the 15 years between the end of the Vietnam War and the start of Operation Desert Shield, the armed forces opened up many specialties to women. And recently, in the Persian Gulf War, as well as conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq, women's participation expanded immensely. Here in the Minnesota National Guard, the role of women has changed over the years as well. The Minnesota National Guard is committed to fostering an environment that truly represents the demographics of the communities in which we serve.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Brigadier General Sandra Best is the Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Air National Guard. She is responsible for command supervision, oversight, and leadership of the 133rd Airlift Wing and the 148th Fighter Wing to include all items pertaining to manning, operations, readiness, training, and equipping of units in the Minnesota Air National Guard. General Best, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
General, we visited out at the State Fair before, but it's nice to get you in the studio here and have a little time to talk.
It is. It's great to be here.
General, can you share with our listeners, it was a few years back when you actually signed up as an enlisted airman.
That is correct. I signed up actually in February of 1984, so this February marks 33 years in the Minnesota Air National Guard.
Oh, my goodness. And you were an enlisted personnel for several years.
7 years.
And then you were commissioned in 1991?
That's correct. Yes, I was commissioned as a, at the time it's called a social actions officer. Now it's called a military equal employment officer.
And I understand that was through the Academy of Military Science at McGee Tyson Air National Guard Base, Tennessee. What were you doing in Tennessee, General?
Tennessee was where they commissioned all of the National Guard officers through the Tennessee Air National Guard at that Knoxville training facility.
And, General, when you were commissioned as a second lieutenant, did you ever dream that you'd be pinned with a star?
I did not have aspirations that high at that point. So, no, I did not. And especially when I first enlisted, I never thought I'd be a general officer, that's for sure. I thought I was working on how I was going to get through basic training and maybe just complete my first tour of 6 years.
Same thing that I was doing back in 1970, get through basic training and see where it takes us.
Exactly.
And, of course, I went to Vietnam, and fortunately you didn't have to do that. But, General, I understand, has it been about a year since you were pinned as a Brigadier General?
It is. February 1st marked 1 year as a general officer.
And historic in the Minnesota National Guard, the first female Brigadier General.
That's right. I was the first, but I wasn't the last. And shortly after they promoted me, the Minnesota Army National Guard promoted General Joanna Clyburn.
So now there's two here.
There is two, and we're not the last either.
And over on the air side of the house, you get to work with another general who's been on the show many times, General Hamler.
Yes, and General Hamler, of course, before me, was the first African-American general officer. So both of us on the air side are certainly committed to diversifying our force, which is one of our Minnesota National Guard lines of action under General Nash, and the Minnesota Air National Guard is living that proudly.
General, there's got to be a lot of young ladies in Minnesota looking up to you as the first Brigadier General in the Minnesota Air National Guard, and a lot of young ladies that are in the Air and Army National Guard that are looking up to both you and the other general.
I think that it's a mutual look because I am so honored to serve with the amazing women in the Minnesota National Guard and men. But certainly there's a lot of women that went before me that didn't have the opportunity that I did. And that's what we're trying to do, is to create parity for everybody who comes into the Minnesota National Guard to be able to live their dreams. And that's what's happening.
In general, things are a lot different than they were 40-some years ago when I was in the Air Force and the Air National Guard here at the 133rd, but there's a lot more women serving?
That is correct. In the Air Guard, we have about 23% of our force, or approximately over 500 that are serving of 2,200 members.
And in recent years, they've opened up just about all the jobs, too, haven't they?
That's correct. In the Minnesota Air National Guard, all jobs have been open since the late 90s to women.
Now, General, since those jobs opened, have you seen a lot of the ladies changing jobs, or a lot of them just staying with what they were trained to do?
I think that there certainly are many women who are pursuing those dreams, like I indicated, doing what they want to do. So we definitely have pilots and maintainers that are females that are doing great work for us, but still some of our positions are historically male, and so that is certainly one of our challenges, is to continue to make sure that we're making women aware of those opportunities at a younger age even, because sometimes people don't realize that those are even avenues that they can pursue, so we need to continue to do work to make that happen.
We're speaking with Brigadier General Sandy Best on Minnesota Military Radio. General, I think many, many things have changed over the decades, and I, for one, am happy to see a lot of them. But are your airmen comfortable with the fact that there's a lot more women today, and is everybody on equal footing? Is everything running well, ma'am?
I think it's running extremely well, and I think certainly the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Air National Guard specifically is really doing a lot to ensure we have an inclusive environment. And I know in the 33 years that I've served, I've certainly seen an evolution of opportunity, but for 33 years, I have really been proud to serve with the men and women in the Minnesota Air National Guard. And in the early years, there was less women, and that's continuing to grow. But we are welcomed, and I see no issues with working closely with our men and women.
General, I always ask the Army officers that are in here about the even in the Air National Guard, you have a two missions, essentially. You've got the federal mission to support the Pentagon, and you've got the state mission to support the governor when he calls up the troops. Can you tell us how that affects our Air National Guard personnel?
Absolutely. That's what differentiates us from all of the other reserve forces. The fact that we take not only one oath, but two oaths, first to our President of the United States and then to our governor.
And can you give us an example of a federal mission and a state mission for the Air National Guard?
Sure, certainly. Our federal mission is when we're called to serve in places like Afghanistan and Iraq. And our local state mission would be when we're serving for floods or tornadoes or civil disturbance. That is our state mission.
So, as you said, that's quite different from active duty troops that are federal, and the reserves, or the Air Force Reserve, is a federal mission as well. And in the Air National Guard, you have possibly two missions, the federal mission and the state mission, which is very important in every state.
Absolutely, and that's what makes us unique. And so we say not only do we serve our president and our governor, but our communities as well. And the Minnesota National Guard, because we're located all over the state with in nearly 60 communities, it allows us to be the face of the military because we work so closely hand in hand with the people that we live and serve with.
And General, the other advantage that I've seen in the last 6.5 years is that in the Air National Guard or the Army National Guard, you have your job duties when you're on duty as an airman, but most of your airmen are part-time, and they have other jobs that they serve in as civilians. And so a lot of them bring two different specialties with them when they come to work.
Yes, they do. They are a highly skilled force because they get the skills they learn in the military, but many times that is doubled because they're bringing those skills from the civilian force. And with us having been at war now for over a decade, we also have gone from a strategic reserve to an operational force, which has been we're serving alongside our active duty counterparts at the same rate. So that's a highly skilled force.
Ma'am, we're just about out of time for this segment. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the 133rd Airlift Wing and the 148th Fighter Wing up in Duluth. We're speaking with Brigadier General Sandy Best on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Brigadier General Sandy Best, who is the Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Air National Guard, and she is responsible for the command, supervision, oversight, and leadership of the 133rd Airlift Wing and the 148th Fighter Wing, to include all items pertaining to manning, operations, readiness, training, and equipping of units in the Minnesota Air National Guard. That's a long list of duties, General.
That sure is, and I don't do it alone, that's for sure.
Well, you've got a couple of thousand airmen, as I understand, to help you with all of this, don't you?
That's correct, 2,200 strong.
Well, ma'am, can we start with the 148th Fighter Wing up in Duluth? Can you tell us about that and their capabilities?
We sure can. So the 148th Fighter Wing is located in Duluth, Minnesota, and they have 18 F-16s. And most recent, and 1,000, just over 1,000 employees up there are members of the Minnesota Air National Guard. And just recently, in 2016, they took 12 of those F-16s and 300 of their folks to Seoul, Korea for a mission to be able to show up the strength and deter enemy aircraft.
And was that a successful mission, ma'am?
It was a very successful mission. Very proud of the 148th Fighter Wing.
We had the commander on before he went over there, and he was telling us about all the logistics of getting those aircraft and all those airmen over there, and he was pretty excited about the opportunity to go over there and train in really a delicate situation.
Absolutely it was, and they represented extremely well. There's a lot of active duty force that they're working alongside, and it was very transparent to not know who was guard and who was active duty. They definitely represented Minnesota proud.
And ma'am, up at the Duluth International Airport, you're the Duluth Air National Guard is right up there at the airport, but they also do some other things, like I think they take care of the firefighting mission up there and the bomb disposal squad as well.
That's correct. They have a EOD unit that can respond, and they have a firefighters that support the Duluth airport as well.
So they're great partners up in Duluth.
They are indeed. They are indeed, yes.
And ma'am, the last time I was up there for a tour, your bomb disposal unit told us that you wouldn't think about it, but every once in a while they get a call and some veteran from World War II had brought home a grenade or a bomb or some kind of thing, and the local authorities are called, and they've got robots and they've got all the training and all the facilities go out and carefully take care of those things.
Absolutely, and it is surprising how often that does happen. And so they are in a highly trained force that is able to serve the local mission in Minnesota.
So the Air National Guard is a vital partner for some of the local sheriffs and the other agencies out in that part of the state.
Absolutely, they are. In fact, the Duluth Chamber of Commerce has a military affairs committee that has been highly instrumental in supporting the continued advancement of the weapon systems for the 148th Fighter Wing. They were successful in helping us to get the current F-16s, and they are also continuing to support the future weapon systems for the 148th.
And ma'am, I understand that with those upgraded F-16s they have now, that their mission is probably good for at least the next decade.
It is indeed, but at the same time, we're continuing to make sure that we always will have two flying wings in the state of Minnesota. So that certainly is one of our priorities, to make sure that we are looking at our weapon systems for the future.
and how things change. And I know you've got long-term plans to make sure that we're still vital and active up in Duluth, as well as here in Minneapolis, where you've got the 133rd Airlift Wing, who fly C-130s.
That's correct. They fly C-130 Hercules, and they have 8 aircraft on the flight line there, and they have just over 1,200 airmen that are doing exceptional work at the 133rd Airlift Wing. They just recently completed a capstone event, which is a 5-year training cycle, really, to be able to, it's our way to assess to make sure that they have their all the right capabilities. And it is also a way to be able to just provide continuous improvement so that we can identify where we're doing great things and then where areas that we need to continue to improve. And they had a very successful results with that capstone event.
And the 133rd Airlift Wing gets up to Camp Ripley quite often, don't they?
Yes, they do. That is, they fly up there and do airdrops to be able to do some of their training, both in the air and on the ground. And we all love to visit Camp Ripley, which is certainly a treasure here in the state of Minnesota for a variety of training. They have great facilities up there that we use for multiple events throughout the year.
One of the best training facilities in the country, and we're really lucky to have it here in Minnesota.
If not the best.
Yes, ma'am. I won't argue with you. Now, General, I think a year or two ago we had some people from the 133rd out, and if memory serves me correctly, I think they were celebrating the 90th anniversary of the being out at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. We've had aircraft of one kind or another there for a long time, haven't we?
That's correct. The 109th Airlift Squadron is the longest federally recognized, or was the first federally recognized National Guard unit in the United States.
We must do something right here in Minnesota, General.
We grow them very well here in Minnesota.
And General, I have to ask you, how are our airmen doing?
Our airmen are doing really exceptional. I am honored to represent them and serve with them in the Minnesota Air National Guard. They routinely make us proud. They are on a daily basis serving those federal missions that we've talked about and our state missions. They are always ready, and it is really a great honor to serve as the Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Air National Guard.
Now, General, we have the Army National Guard on the show quite a bit, and when they go on deployments, they usually go as a unit, and they go for a long period of time, might be a year or something like that. But I understand that when your airmen go on deployments, it's more frequently and it's shorter deployments. Is that true?
That is true. Some of our missions now are about 6 months. A lot of our missions are 6 months, but we do our deployments where they can serve in 60 and 90 day cycles. And sometimes it's just by the need of the mission. So when they put out those needs, and most of our missions are served by people stepping up and volunteering to go instead of being tasked, they're stepping up to serve those missions because of that's what we train for.
Ma'am, is it possible that any of your airmen don't understand that in today's day and age, the last decade or so, they're going to be called up for deployments sooner or later, aren't they?
They know that is the whole purpose of why they're serving.
And they reenlist anyway.
And they keep joining and reenlisting. In fact, in the Minnesota Air National Guard, about 95% of our folks stay in the Guard.
Ma'am, are there any initiatives that are coming up in 2017 that are going to task your airmen?
We are certainly we are preparing for deployments at any given time. We probably have currently about 400 members in the Minnesota National Guard deployed and serving, with another several hundred preparing to deploy throughout the next year. So multiple units are doing that, and we maintain constant readiness, a constant state of readiness, so our folks are ready to deploy within 42 to 72 hours.
And these days, along with the Yellow Ribbon groups all over Minnesota, there's a lot of training and a lot of preparedness to take care of the families while your airmen are gone.
That is the truth. With our Yellow Ribbon program, which originated here in Minnesota, that is vital to taking care of our airmen, because I call it the force behind the force. And that's our family members, and we don't do it alone. We do it with the support of our family members, and they serve with us. and the Yellow Ribbon communities really help to sustain the readiness of our military members.
Ma'am, we've only got about a minute left, but I want to ask you the question. You've had a long and a great career. You're a Brigadier General. Looks like you've had a lot of fun in your career. We've got listeners in 39 stations all over the state, and some of those young ladies out there might be thinking about a career in the Air National Guard. What would you have to say to them?
I would tell them to come out and talk to Minnesota Air National Guard recruiters, that it is a great occupation, the profession of arms. You have an opportunity to serve with exceptional Minnesotans. And in addition to that, travel the world, have educational opportunities that you couldn't even imagine. Both of our installations are like little cities, so almost every job that you can imagine exists in the Minnesota Air National Guard. So check it out and come on and give us a try.
Ma'am, it's been a pleasure to have you in the studio today. I'd like to thank you for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much, Tom, and we really appreciate all that you do for the Minnesota National Guard.
Thank you, ma'am. That was Brigadier General Sandy Best. In a moment, we'll visit with the Minnesota Wild and see what they're doing to take care of our veterans and service members. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to speak to Minnesota Sports and Entertainment and see what they and Minnesota Wild are doing for our veterans and our service members. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
I'm proud to announce our Minnesota Veterans Home, Laverne, was recognized for a state government innovation award last month. The Laverne Veterans Home was awarded the Better Government Award for great customer service, for enhancing residents' lives through music and memory. The Dayton Smith administration has been improving the customer service provided by state government a priority over the past 6 years. Research shows that approximately 50% of long-term care facility residents do not regularly have visitors, while 64% sit in silence for extended periods of time. To improve the quality of life enjoyed by residents, the Minnesota Veterans Home Laverne implemented a music and memory program to engage residents with memory loss with playlists customized to their particular interests and memories. The facility also provides dual headphones that allows residents to listen together, making it a group activity. Veterans participating in the music and memory program have exhibited reduced agitation and anxiety and improved mood, memory, and socialization. In 2016, the Laverne Veterans Home earned 4.87 out of 5 possible points on its annual customer satisfaction survey. Hats off to Laverne.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota Wild is Lindsay Weir and Rachel Link. Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Rachel, we're going to start with you. We've referred to this as the Minnesota Sports and Entertainment and also the Wild. Can you explain the organization to me and our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. So the Minnesota Wild is most known for being the professional hockey team here in Minnesota. But we not only work on the business side of the team, we're also a part of a parent company called Minnesota Sports and Entertainment. And that includes the St. Paul Arena Company, which manages the Xcel Energy Center and St. Paul River Center, as well as the Iowa Wild, which is our AHL team down in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah. So, in your position with the Wild?
I am the human resources manager.
Okay. And Lindsay, your position there?
I'm an account executive with our new business development team.
And I understand you were instrumental in helping the Wild become Yellow Ribbon.
I just helped put the pieces together. We had a great team behind us and great leadership from the top.
Who had the idea? When did someone at the Wild decide they wanted to be Yellow Ribbon?
I think it started, you know, back in 2012 when the city of St. Paul was making their bid to become a Yellow Ribbon city. We became more involved. And myself, having already worked with the military on all of our Wild events, the military side of that, helping them with tickets, I kind of had an investment in the military community already, so it was kind of a natural fit to jump on board and see what this Yellow Ribbon was all about. It was really new, and no one really knew what to expect, so we just kind of jumped in kind of without looking, and here we are.
Here you are. And the Wild has done some military appreciation nights for quite a while, haven't they?
We've done numerous military events since our inception, so we're really thankful to be able to support the military community and the service members, you know, any way that we can.
You celebrated being proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon Company in January of this year, but can you tell us a little bit about the process? What's it take to become Yellow Ribbon these days?
Yeah, it takes a lot. They're pretty tough standards. They don't take anyone off the street, so we had a pretty rigorous application process and putting the pieces together of cool ways we can support the service community, cool ways we can support their families, and really kind of important ways that we support our own employees that have military connections.
So I imagine you spent some quality time with Annette Kuiper, who's the Director of Military Outreach, and the Yellow Ribbon Lady.
Yes, yep. I had a good fortune of meeting her way back in 2012 with the City of St. Paul, and she's also a Rotary member, so I see her there. So we happen to run into each other at various events throughout these last 5 years, so can't kind of get her away from her.
Now, she's not here to defend herself, but I imagine she was twisting your arm for a few months, right?
Oh, always.
But not too hard.
No, not too hard. So I got to know Annette really well when I joined the City of St. Paul's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. So I was with the help of Ed Coleman. We helped run the steering committee for the business side of the network. And from there, we really got to know Annette on a more personal level. She's just so great to work with and has a real passion for this. So it's just really nice to be in such good company.
We're speaking with Lindsay Weir and Rachel Link from the one of the newest Yellow Ribbon companies in Minnesota, the Minnesota Wild, on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Lindsay, I imagine that there were a lot of things in your action plan that the Minnesota Wild was already doing that you just had to put that into the plan. And you probably had some support from some high executive at the Wild, or this probably wouldn't have happened, would it?
You're exactly right, Tom. We had very good support from our leadership team, all the way from our vice presidents, our owner, our COO, our CFO. Everyone was on board.
And did the players get a kick out of this when you were proclaimed at that January game?
I'm sure the coach had him worried about other things.
Like winning the game, and they went on a great run this year, by the way. Good work over there.
Yes, we're ecstatic.
Now, Rachel, I want to talk to you a little bit about part of that plan. Did you put in there some way that you could hire more veterans as part of your organization?
Yes, absolutely. One thing is that we've had a longstanding and committing support and hiring of our military members and veterans. One big, large event that we are a part of and have been a part of for the last 4 years is the Hiring Our Heroes. It's a career fair that is available for veterans, active duty members, Guard and Reserve members, as well as military spouses. And this event is actually taking place this Monday at the Xcel Energy Center, February 27th, from 9:30 to 2 p.m. And you can find out more information about it at hiringourheroes.org.
Now, is that open to all veterans? Who's it open to?
Yep, all veterans, active duty members, Guard and Reserve members, as well as military spouses.
And there are going to be some employers there as well?
There are lots of employers that are involved. Lindsay, do you know the exact number?
Yes, we are in the great fortune of a very, very good military community here in Minnesota, a large part due to Annette and the Yellow Ribbon community outreach that they've done. But we sell out each year. We max out at 100 employers, and we usually end up having 114 or 120 that we sneak in there.
Yeah, and how many veterans usually show up?
On average, it's around 500.
So it's a big event.
It is, yep. It's a large event and certainly can still get more in. So I encourage any veterans out there looking, any spouses, anyone that's just looking for an opportunity, I would definitely go on the hiringourheroes.org website, register. If you can't figure that out, just show up at Gate 1 on Monday and we'll get you in the building and get you connected. And as a bonus, you actually get a free pair of Wild tickets to the game that night as we take on the Kings.
Jeez, I'm employed, but I might come over. Rachel, can you tell us the times again and the location for that?
Absolutely. It's at the Xcel Energy Center right in downtown St. Paul, and it's Monday, February 27th from 9:30 until 2 p.m.
So our veterans can go over there and talk to a lot of employers, get some tickets to a game, and see a beautiful facility.
Absolutely.
And Lindsay, you were telling me, I thought that thing was brand new. How long has the Xcel been around?
We built it just for the Wild, so you'd have to check to see when the groundbreak happened, but I believe our first season here was 2001.
So it's been there 15, 16 years.
Yep, it's been there a while.
And you've got plans to remodel it and keep it up to date.
We do, yep. We just finished installing the brand new seats last year. A couple years ago, we have a brand new scoreboard that's pretty spiffy. So it definitely looks like a new rink.
Well, it's a beautiful facility, and it's well-constructed and a great place to watch hockey and a lot of other things.
Yes, a lot of other things is right. Yep, we're a very sought-after venue, that's for sure.
Ladies, I know we want to talk about some events, but we're just about out of time for this segment, so we'll come back in the fourth segment and talk about some events that the Minnesota Wild has coming up. We've been talking to Lindsay Weir and Rachel Link from the Minnesota Wild on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we've been visiting with the Minnesota Wild. It's the newest yellow ribbon company in Minnesota, the great state of hockey, the Minnesota Wild, and we're visiting with Lindsay Weir and Rachel Link. And ladies, one of the things we didn't get a chance to talk about was events, and I know you have a lot of events that the Wild sponsors. Who wants to tell me about what's coming up? Is that you, Lindsay?
Yeah, I can take that, Tom. We do. We have numerous events throughout the year on the Wild side, as well as on XL Energy Center side. We host other family shows like rodeos, family shows, Disney on Ice, various events in there. Plus, we have a full hockey season as well. So we have a jam-packed list of events on any given time of the year here at XL.
So in connection with your Yellow Ribbon plan and some of the things you're doing, and I know you were doing this beforehand, you have some Wild military nights, right?
We do. We have General Wild Military Nights, actually sponsored by KFAN right here in the building. So we partner with them and help provide discounted tickets to any service members and their family to various games throughout the season. So that's a really good offer. It's just a ticket offer, not kind of all the fanfare that we put into our other military nights, but still a great offer to come out to a lot of hockey games.
And a tough ticket to get with the Wild on a big run this year, winning a lot of games.
You are right. Our military nights have sold out very fast this year.
And then you have the military appreciation night.
We do. We try to have that around Veterans Day, so it's usually sometime in November. That'll be one of our larger events. We try to have everything in-game related to the military. That's through our charity partner of that game, our intermissions, down to even shout-outs going out to Kuwait or wherever a Minnesota troop is stationed.
And then I understand you have a fundraiser with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon St. Paul, the Wild as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon night.
We do every year. This year is actually a night that we were proclaimed an official Yellow Ribbon company this past January. We help raise over $6,000 for the local network, so we're thrilled with that. We're one of the largest donors to the St. Paul chapter.
And I know recently you had a rodeo night because we had some folks out there from Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, and one of the board members from the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and you helped raise some money for that organization.
We did. That was on our arena side. Karen Reisinger does a great job on all of our family events, helping with the military and getting their service members and community involvement on there as well.
So you're doing a lot. How many home games do we have each year?
We have 44 home games a year.
So you got I hope you don't have 44 events, but I'll bet you do.
We have a lot.
Something going on every night. What about, I see Disney on Ice as part of this.
That is. That's where Karen and her team take charge on those family shows. So, yeah, they provide military discounts and special offers throughout the non-hockey season.
And, Rachel, at the XL Energy Center, they have concerts as well, don't they?
We do, absolutely. We also manage the St. Paul River Center, so we have events on that side of the campus as well.
So in addition to taking care of the Minnesota Wild, you're booking all those events at the XL and at the Riverside, and must be pretty darn busy.
It is, but we have a great group of employees, and we're always looking for more spectacular employees as well.
And we heard as part of your plan, you're looking for some veterans, too.
We are. You can never have too many veterans on your team.
So I have to ask you, Lindsay, this process of becoming a Yellow Ribbon company, it takes a little work. Was it worthwhile?
Absolutely. This has been such a great experience, not only to show the community how invested we are in our veterans, but just a great way for inside your organization to kind of get to know your coworkers a little bit better. I know from this experience, I now know more of my coworkers that have family connections to the military that we ever did. Found out which family which employees are Gold Star families. So it's just been a really great experience and kind of brought us closer as a company.
And Rachel, we're here in Minnesota, the great state of hockey.
Yes.
And if our listeners want to find out which games are coming up and if there's any tickets available, where would they go?
You're going to visit wild.com. And if you're interested in actually joining our organization and learning about our jobs, you'll go to wild.com/employment.
Well, ladies, you're doing a great job. Congratulations on being proclaimed Yellow Ribbon. And we appreciate your coming to the station today to share your story with people all over Minnesota.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
That was Lindsay Wire and Rachel Link from the great state of hockey, the Minnesota Wild, the newest Yellow Ribbon company in Minnesota. Joining me now is Jason Marquardt, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and also the Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer who resides in Preston, Minnesota. Jason, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks again, Tom.
Jason, how's all our veterans down your way?
So far, they're good, but we'll see if they're covered in snow tomorrow after we get the blizzard.
That's right. You're supposed to get some snow in southern Minnesota, but we'll believe it when we see it.
I'm hoping we don't have to see it.
Okay. We'll keep that wish up here. Now, as we talk about every time, every county in Minnesota has at least one county veteran service officer. And you and your fellow county veteran service officers make it your business to study all of the resources that are available to help our veterans. Is that right?
That is right. We, A to Z, we try and know it all.
And so for our veterans, if there's any issue that's veteran-related, including, of course, a claim for some type of an injury they might have had while they were in the service, they should go see their county veteran service officer. It can be the one in their county, or it could be any other veteran service officer.
Yep. Just come see us.
And so if they do have some kind of an issue, you'll help them document it. You'll help them figure out how to file a claim and then get them some help to advocate for them and see if they can get some help to resolve those issues.
Yep, exactly. That's what we're here for, is to be the veteran's advocate.
Now, Jason, I understand that here in Minnesota, there's a disabled veteran homestead evaluation exclusion. Can you explain to me what that is and who's eligible?
Yeah, the disabled veterans homestead evaluation exclusion is a state benefit that there's three different tiers that a veteran can qualify for. The first tier would be our 100% permanent and total disabled folks. They actually qualify for up to $300,000 reduction in their property taxes. And then you have the 70%, 80%, 90%, and a few other individuals that fall in a category that can have up to $150,000 property tax exclusion, and all this is done on the assessed value of the home.
So the $150,000 would be knocked off of the assessed value, and that would lower your taxes, but it's not taxes.
Correct. That's exactly what it does, is they take that amount minus what your property tax or your home is valued at, they take that off the taxes, and then you pay the remainder. You know, unless you're under, say, you're a 70% veteran that has, you know, only has a $50,000 assessed home, well, then you're not going to pay any tax. But if you have a $300,000 home, you're going to pay, you know, only taxes on the first $150,000 for those lesser ones.
So what's the process for getting that done? Say you're an 80% disabled veteran and you've got a certificate from the VA saying that that's your level of disability. Do you take that over to the city hall? How do you do this?
The process is real simple. Even if you don't know where your documentation is, you just come in and see your county veteran service officer. We will grab the forms off the state's website for a person. And if a person wants to find it themselves, the form is CRDVHE70. You can find that online. But otherwise, all the county veteran service officers have that form. Come in and see a service officer, and we'll get the documentation. If you don't have it, all we need is a DD-214, the paperwork from the VA stating that you're 70, 80, 90% or 100% permanent in total, and we'll help you get get the form filled out correctly, and then that actually goes to your county assessor's office where they actually process it. And all this actually has to be in before July 1st of each year for the next year's taxes. So looking at today, all the forms have to be in by July 1st, 2017, to not have or to have the exclusion count towards your 2018 property tax.
Okay, so the best thing for them to do is go see their county veteran service officer, get your DD-214, get this form, file it with the assessor's office not later than July 1st, and your taxes will go down next year if you're at least 70% service disabled. Now, once that's in place, if the service member, if the veteran dies, is that benefit carry over to the surviving spouse?
Right now, it does for veterans that are 100% or higher. There is a whole bunch of legislation trying to change some of this law for the better of those widows or widowers. Because right now, even the surviving spouse that is eligible can only have this benefit for 8 years. There's legislation currently going through the Minnesota House to change that to forever until something happens to them, they remarry, they sell the property, or they pass away.
Okay, so we hope the state legislature fix that so that the spouses can have that benefit available to them for as long as they live.
That's right, because as we know, being veterans, our spouses put up with a lot, and I think they actually put up with more than we did in the service.
Yeah, and after 8 years, after the veteran might pass, the spouses don't get all of a sudden get a raise so that they can pay higher taxes, real estate taxes, do they?
Exactly.
All right. Well, it's been great visiting with you again today, Jason. Any final words for our listeners?
Just thanks for having me on. If people have questions about this benefit, talk to your county veteran service officer, and they will help you get everything done.
All right, Jason. Thanks for being with us again today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks again, Tom.
That was Jason Marquardt, president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Brigadier General Sandy Best, Lindsay Weyer, Rachel Link, Jason Marquardt, Commissioner Larry Shelotto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.